back to the open MRI of Wall High School football game of the week on the Shore Sports Network, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And we welcome you back here from the home of the goals, Point Pleasant Beach High School. 32-0 Point Beach leads us one. Let's run through the scoring summary first for here. Then we'll take a quick break and come back with some scores from around the state and a halftime interview. Kyle Samaritano got the scoring started for Point Beach. He scored with the 11:14 remaining in the first quarter. 58-yard touchdown run. That was on the very first drive of the game. Point Beach led it 7-0. They went up 14-0 on their next possession.
I got to get away from the band.
We are back here from Point Pleasant Beach High School. Apologize for the technical glitch there. We just had our equipment dump out for us just for a second. As we were saying, the scoring for Point Pleasant Beach, two first-quarter touchdowns, Kyle Samaritano and Danny Tai both punching it in. Andre Cochran got one from 4 yards out in the second quarter. It was 20-0 at that point, and then Jake Fioretti finding Noah Yates wide open before Tai got in again from 32 yards out. 32-0 is the score in favor of Point Beach. They lead the seventh-seed Rams of South River. As we always like to do, we send it down to the field and join Ed Saraluca, a special halftime guest tonight on a Friday.
Well, for so many years, he coached in the Shore at Manasquan, retired last fall, and now doing a little work for All Shore Media under Scott Stump, and it is Art Gordon. Welcome, Art.
Thank you very much.
Hey, what do you think of this Point Pleasant Beach team? This team is on a mission.
They are good. This is the third time I've seen them, and they are anything but a Group one team, not even close.
I know, you know, for I think they have 150 boys in the school. For what they went through the last couple of weeks, you know, they haven't played a game in 3 weeks. They're just firing on all cylinders against a pretty good program, maybe not as good a team as they usually have, but an outstanding program in South River.
South River is perennial power in Middlesex County, and they were always in the Group One playoffs. Beach, yes, they did have a lot of things happen to them with the storm and everything. As a matter of fact, I did a article on two of their players for All Shore Media, and I went in and talked to them, and you can't believe with all the devastation and everything that they did, their team was just like any of the other schools and communities. They were down the beach working hand in hand with everybody the whole time, and it's a credit to the community, the parents, the teachers, the coaches, everything. It's a great program Coach Wagner's put together in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard to believe what he's accomplished in 2 years. I think it was 8-3 last year, going to be 9-0 after this one. I don't know if South River could come back from this deficit. But in 2 years, I mean, he's just changed the whole culture down here.
He has that. You know, it helps having good material, too. He does have some good athletes, good people, but he's doing it, and he's doing it the right way. He's doing it with a lot of class. I was lucky enough to sit down and talk to him for about a half an hour at the same time I was doing the article on the kids, and he's doing it the right way with the right ideas, building it from the bottom, getting the kids out. And if you're standing on a sideline here, you hear them constantly yelling at the kids, you know, shut your mouth, be, you know, play football, and you know, there's no funny stuff going on with Coach Wagner around.
Yeah, you know, I went to one practice this week. It seemed like a loose bunch, you know. As you mentioned, the first week, as most schools, everything basically was shut down football-wise. The second week was a lot of relief and helping out down at the beach, especially here in Point Pleasant, which took a very hard hit. They really didn't get back to business until the end of that second week and, of course, this week. And, you know, just tough stories. You know, who were the stories on?
The two stories, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to think right now. One was on
Andre Cochran at all?
No, it was. As a matter of fact, it was one of the offensive and defensive linemen. Okay. And then I think it was an offensive lineman that's probably the sixth lineman on the team. Okay. And for, you know, I forgot the name. Oh, it was tough stories. But, you know, they were great kids. They were great kids. And, you know, their parents should be proud of them.
Okay, I got to ask you, as we do most of the people that we have on, 27 schools of the in the Shore, 28 schools in the Shore, 43. it's a rarity now to not make the playoffs, watered down a lot, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you hate saying it, but I really think that the idea of having a 500 cutoff should be back in effect. I don't know what reason it is for it, you know, balancing it off, trying to get more people participating. You know, it's going back to, you know, giving trophies out for participation, which it shouldn't be. You know, you should earn your way in. And there's a couple schools playing, just like in every other sport, too, that don't belong in there. You know, you got to earn your way in. It's not just because you were, you know, you were the next to worst team on the schedule or in the group.
Yeah, some of the groups have nine schools in them. Eight of them get into playoffs. I mean, you know, we always pick on Modern Day because they seem to be the eyesore at a 1-7 with a 1-7 record. They're the seventh seed, you know, and but have to go up against a St. Mary's team and possibly a St. Joe Hamilton team. I mean, you know, just not a fair fight there.
In a way, we're fortunate that Vic Caboo isn't around to see this because if you were asking him this question, I think there'd be a lot of beeps and boops and everything else going on because there were years that he didn't feel that he should be in the playoffs and we were in there and we were quite successful with it, but you know that was due to Vic's assistant coaches, not Vic.
Great line. Okay, some of the teams that you've seen this year. Let's talk about some of these top teams. What do you think?
I'll pay admission next Thanksgiving to see Beach and Shore, and then hopefully see them in 2 weeks. Manalapan is a well-balanced team, and I just saw Colts Neck really put it to a Middletown South team. And it was a 28-9 score, but it really wasn't indicative of the way Colts Neck dominated that. And the Campbell kid, I saw him on the first weekend, and I just saw him the other day. He's elevated his game a great deal. He was 7-for-8 for 150 yards in the second half, and he's doing a good job.
Yeah, it's a very impressive team. I saw the Manalapan Colts Neck game, and I came back. Even though Colts Neck lost that game, they probably should have won it. Manalapan, a poised team, ready to make a run at their first title ever in Central Jersey Group 5. One of those additional groupings that the state made to get 32 extra teams and games out of it. But anyway, Colts Neck, as good as Manalapan was, in playing in a different bracket now, you know, with some good teams in that Central 4. But, yeah, very impressed with Campbell, the quarterback. Great size for them, you know, and he's done a nice job there with that program.
He has done that. He's got some good material around. The Evangelist kid is a great receiver. I know him as a baseball player, and he does a great job in baseball. And I was surprised when I saw him out there because he's a tall, thin kid. But he does a real good job. The Gargiulo kid runs the ball real well, and they're pretty well balanced. I was surprised when they came out and threw the ball so well against Middletown South in the second half of the game and really dominated.
Neptune, a little low in midseason, a couple back-to-back losses, Brick Memorial, and I forget who else, somebody that shouldn't have won beat them, but seems to be back on track. Think they're the favorite in that group, Group 3?
No, I do not. I've seen
Allentown?
No, I've seen Long Branch. I've seen Long Branch three times, and I thought they were pretty physical with their two-headed monster. Now they get the third part coming down, returning, and Clark, if I'm not mistaken, and
Dwight Clark.
They're going to. I think Long Branch is going to be have a say in that. They haven't shown a pass game yet, so I think that might be their Achilles heel. But the quarterback Avery Griffin, I think his name is a good, very good athlete. And he's got some great athletes around him. And, you know, I haven't seen Neptune, so I'm going to go with Long Branch.
Yeah, I saw that Neptune-Long Branch game, and Neptune intercepted two passes from Griffin and ran a kickoff back in the first 2.5 minutes of the game. It was 21-0, and then Long Branch basically outplayed him for the rest of the game. They could run the football. And like you said, you know, with Jaceel Jackson and now Dwight Clark back, you know, they could be tough, and it seems like they're doing the job tonight. 13-3 at halftime against Matawan. Another good team, Matawan.
Yeah, Matawan had, and the first game with Mattawan. I was very, very surprised to see how well Mattawan did against Long Branch. They had an 18-play drive and a 20-play drive in the game, and I was very surprised to see that. And it came down to a field goal last second.
Left. Yeah, that's how about RBC? You know, we said last night on our show, you know, nobody seems to talk a lot about them because, you know, they just seem to breeze by everybody, but then they get into the playoffs, and could this be the year?
I hope so, because I'm from North Jersey, but I'm tired of hearing every time I go visit relatives or something like that, the North Jersey biased up there. But I know one of the guys I still teach with, Rich Reed, is coaching at Middletown South right now. And one of the things going in when they had a play, RBC, was that they didn't know whether or not they could handle their physicality. And he said, you can see them in person, you can see them on film and whatever, until you are actually faced on the other side of the line of scrimmage to them, you can't even believe how physical they are. So I think that this might be the year that they at least get to the championship.
Well, they've got to get to do that. They got should be get by Monsignor Donovan tonight, and then got to face a pretty good St. Joe Monfield team, top five team in the state.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never easy up there.
You know, yeah. In order to to be the best, you got to beat the best. And if I'm not mistaken, they'll face them in the second round.
Yes, semis.
Yeah. So another Vic saying was, "Hey, let's play the best team first and see how good we are. And if we're not going to beat them, let's finish early." You know.
Hey, by the way, we all said that. Last week's Manasquan game, Vic was smiling down when he saw that muddy field, wasn't he?
Muddy field? No, you just didn't see the grass. We paint the grass. We used to paint the grass brown there. And it's that green stuff's overrated.
Thanks a lot, Art. Good talking to you, and enjoy the rest of this one, and we'll see you down the road.
Stay warm. Yes, stay warm.
It is cool down here, guys, and South River's made their way onto the field. Point Pleasant Beach has left the locker room on their way here also.
All right, we appreciate Coach Gordon giving us a few minutes. You can read his recap of this one tomorrow at allshoremedia.net. We step out here. We will take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll have some scores from around the state and get you set for the start of half number two. It is Point Pleasant Beach leading South River 32-0. You're listening to it on the Halftime Show, part of our Open MRI of Wall Game of the Week on 105.7 The Hawk.